We'll continue on in the series that we began with in the parables to the best of my ability, but with your help this evening. We've come to the parable of the friend in need. I actually want to do this in reverse, and that is to read the context and then look at the parable as given from the context. And so we go to Luke the 11th chapter, verses 1 through 4. Brandon, would you read that for us, please?
Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one.
And in Luke's account, he has Jesus saying, when you pray, say. In Matthew's account, Matthew says that the Lord said, pray in this manner. I think it's more accurate from what Matthew said. Luke is wrong, but he doesn't add to that the thought of praying in this manner. Prayers are not mantras, but rather they are from the heart in connection with supplications and thanksgivings that are given unto God. What Jesus does here in all the accounts that we have of the model prayer, not the Lord's Prayer, but the model prayer, is Jesus teaching at the request in this model prayer of how to pray, and that, of course, is with humility, an approach to the Father, addressing Him so that we recognize that we're in need from all that He has. And then He goes into the different aspects of the prayer, as we see here in verses 2 through 4, where we recognize that He has the power, He has the dominion for all to take place. And then He also has the ability to sustain us, to make sure that we are cared for here upon this earth. And especially as we see in verse 4, in connection with, for we also forgive us our sins, as we also forgive those that are indebted to us. And that is that attitude of forgiveness. And really, what we have then here is an attitude of prayer that is presented. And again, it is humility, recognizing that all comes from the Father, and that without Him we would be supplied with nothing. But then we come to the parable itself, beginning in verse 5. Wayman, would you start reading then in verse 5 and read down through verse 8?
And He said to them, which of you shall have a friend, and go to him at midnight and say, Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, Do not trouble me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is a friend, yet because he is of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs.
Whenever I started these series of lessons, I warned us of overworking the parables. And some would look at this and say, well, that's exactly the way that God is. He doesn't really want to help. He really doesn't want to be bothered. And some would say that about Him. But Jesus is teaching, not concerning the Father, but concerning our attitude in connection with prayer. And He's really teaching what Paul later on in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 19 puts together in 3 words. And in the 3 words in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 19 is pray without ceasing. And so that's what Jesus is teaching here in this particular parable. That we are to demonstrate, of course, that trust and humility that we have in God. And that we expect that the Father hears us. And we didn't read verse 9, but Jesus adds to what he has to say in verses 9 and 10, really in connection with this parable also. Richie, would you read verses 9 and 10?
So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened.
Think about this passage we used this morning in one of our, in the lesson this morning. 1 Thessalonians 1, verses 5 and 6, in connection with this particular parable. And Daryl, would you read that, please?
If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind.
I think that probably, even though this is a promise, and this is an absolute, in connection with God's children, if we ask for wisdom, he says we will receive it. This is really, I think, the only aspect in connection with prayer where God has made a promise, if you ask for this, you will be given it. Absolutely, without question, you'll be given wisdom. And again, it's not that which is mysterious, and it is that that comes about by a prayerful attitude along with work and application in our life. But yet, we have the promise, you will be given this. When we think about that, look over in 1 John 5, verses 14 and 15. Greg, would you read that, please?
Now this is the confidence that we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we will have the petition that we have asked of Him.
The promise here is that every prayer is going to be heard. Every prayer will be answered. What we usually do in connection with prayer is often think, well, our prayer is not answered when we don't get what we want. You know, the answer very well could have been no, or the timing is not right. But we do know this. We have another absolute here in connection with prayer. And it goes back to what Jesus was teaching in the parable. And that is persistence in prayer. Not from the standpoint of God not wanting to hear, but rather about our attitude and having that prayerful attitude. Pray without ceasing. And so what he says here is that when God's children offers prayers, they are heard by God. And not only are they heard, they are answered. Sometimes yes and sometimes no. And that goes back again to our respect of God's authority to recognize that He is the one that either grants or denies. And from the standpoint of that, He knows best for us. We may think that when God says no to a prayer that we have, that we didn't get what we want. And sometimes we don't get what we want because what we wanted was not what was needed. And it really would not benefit us. Let's look at 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 through 3. Doyle, can you see well enough to read? Do you want to do that?
Therefore, I exhort first of all that the supplications, prayer, intercessions, and giving of thanks He made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet, peaceful life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth.
Very good. That's good right there. As we look at this, Paul really broadens the thought of prayer as he is giving instruction to Timothy to teach us. And he broadens it from the standpoint, of course, Jesus had the outline of the prayer in his model prayer. And now we have the thought expanded, I believe, here by Paul in connection with prayer. First of all, supplications. The root word of supplication is supply. And we don't usually have an issue praying for the things that we want supplied to us, the things that we need. We may, from time to time, get confused and begin to pray about things that we want rather than things that we need. But it is right to ask for the supply, for the supplications on our behalf. Prayers that is mentioned here is more in line with the wording of prayers. I mentioned this morning Hannah, this morning, from 1 Samuel, the first chapter. And she prayed to herself, her lips was moving, and Eli saw that, and he thought that she was drunk. But she was not, she was praying. Which, there's a whole other lesson, I believe, on that, in connection with prayer, that I'm not going to at this particular point in time. But there are times where we need to actually word the prayer out loud. And of course, especially when we come into a public worship assembly, there is time for that. But there's time where we need to get on our knees and pray out loud to God, even if we are alone. And again, it relates back to the humility and respect of God's authority when we do that. And then he says intercessions. That's not looking inward, but that's looking outward. That we look to the need of others to intercede on others' behalf. We're not so focused on our own lives. Brother Darrell, as he makes announcements, he says there are so many to pray for in this congregation. And he says from time to time, my list gets longer and longer, it seems like. There are those that need prayer. And sometimes we pray for those that don't even ask for prayer, because many times there are those that don't even recognize their own need. And we need to be cognizant of that and pray for them on that behalf. And then he says the giving of thanks. And the giving of thanks here in connection with for all men. Recognizing that, as he says in verse 2, that there are those that are kings and those that are in authority. And it is, in a sense, from a selfish standpoint, he says to pray for them. Because he says that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. So that we can come together in a place like this and worship God without fear of molestation. At least to this point in our society, that may change. I was reading online just the other day that there was a lady in England that was standing outside an abortion clinic, and she prayed for those babies that were being killed inside. She was taken into custody by the authorities and jailed. There's no telling what may be coming our way. But yet we still need to pray for kings and authorities so that they make the right decision, so that we can worship God in spirit and in truth and without fear. And he says in verse 3 then, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. And he's saying this is with God's blessing, with God's authority. That we pray not only for ourselves and others, but also for those that are in authority, in connection with us, being Christians, and practicing that which is of the faith. We look at James 5 and verse 16 also. Brandon, if you would, read that please.
Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much.
And he uses, of course, Elijah in the very next verse in connection with Elijah praying for rain and praying for drought. And so he says here in this particular verse that not only do we pray ourselves, but we recognize the righteous round about us when we need help. And that we ask for the prayers of those that are righteous. It is not they that forgive sin, but they that petition on our behalf before God. And he says that that is proper, that is right. He says it avails much. That is, to the forgiveness of sins. John puts it this way in 1 John 1 and verse 9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Put those two together. We seek out others for help. We don't try to always stand on our own. And so the message here is be constant in prayer. Make sure that we pray to God and have that prayerful attitude. And the prayerful attitude is not about walking down the street and dropping down on your knees and praying on the instant, but rather living the type of life that is prayerful. That we look to the Father for all that He has to give to us, for all the spiritual blessings, for all the promises that He's promised us through Christ Jesus. And that prayerful attitude also about our life and the way that we conduct our life. James talks about that. don't be arrogant to say, I will go into such a city and buy and sell there and spend this much time, but rather with the attitude, if it is the Lord's will, recognizing then where our time comes from. And so this great lesson is taught about the friend in need. And he's teaching these people at this time, go to your Father in prayer. Be constant in prayer to Him. And he's not teaching that God doesn't want to hear. As a matter of fact, I believe he's teaching exactly the opposite. He is ready to hear, he's ready to answer, and he's ready to help. Brethren, that's 15 minutes, 38 seconds. I'm going to stop. Maybe we can have a few songs. But I believe it's prudent for me and for you, since I'm not projecting real well, to stop at this particular point. I ask for your forgiveness on that. I'll go back to Scripture on it. The Spirit is definitely willing, but the flesh is weak in this case.
For your health and not your forgiveness.
Thank you, sir. All these parables that Jesus presents to it, they are so wonderful. They're simple. And yet when you start delving down into them, they're so full of great depth. Really as far as we want to go. As far as our understanding will support it. And that's the beauty of these parables, as he presents things that are well known to all. That we can take it and we can learn from the surface of what is said, and we can learn from the depths of the wisdom of God in the teaching that has been given. We give thanks that this Savior that we have came to this earth and taught these great lessons for us, and not only that, they are preserved so that we can refer to them, so that we can make application in our life. Does prayer need to be made for you this evening if you're a child of God and you've not done His will? I will tell you, there are righteous men that are ready here to pray with you and for you if you'll ask for forgiveness. Maybe you've done something in a public way that causes shame upon the name of Christ Jesus. Come asking for forgiveness. Maybe you've not lived the life that you should as a child of God. And that all you need at this point in time is prayers on your behalf to strengthen you. Again, there are righteous men to do that here. If there are those that we can help in any way, we'll ask you to come as we stand and sing.